The ABC drama series 30-something, which premiered in 1987 and spent 4 years telling its stories about a group of young professionals living in Philadelphia, has never been released on VHS or DVD until now. Our TV critic David Bianculli takes a second look at a series that took him a while to embrace the first time around.
It's been 20-something years since the premiere of ABC's 30-something, 22 years to be exact. Shout Factory has just released a box set of season 1. It took that long because of the music. The series used a lot of popular songs on the soundtrack, songs whose rights were expensive to secure for home video. But they're all in there, so what you'll see and hear when you watch this complete first season set is what audiences saw and heard back in 1987. That's the good news. But it's also the bad news. I vividly remember hating 30-something when it premiered. I was 30-something then, and married with 2 young kids of my own, so I should have loved it. Many of my friends did. But to me, these yuppie characters were either too noble or too whiny, and all of them spent far too much time talking about their feelings. But I also remember not giving up on the show, and eventually being won over. Not long into the run of 30-something, as both the characters and their problems became more substantial, I was hooked. Eventually, one of the characters got cancer, another died in a traffic accident, and others went bankrupt and had to work for a satanic boss at a large corporation. Looking at the first season after all these years supports both of my initial impressions. Series creators Marshall Herskovitz and Ed Zwick, who went on to have enviable careers in both TV and movies, started awkwardly, but were fast learners. Despite some solid performances and funny scenes, though, the first 3 episodes of 30-something are just as off-putting as I remembered them. Honestly, when one of the big conflicts is having to postpone a reservation to play squash, I don't want to embrace these characters. I want to slap them. But in episode 4, a conflict at a dinner party between 2 of the characters, the long-married couple Nancy and Elliot, is reenacted from 4 separate perspectives, each with a distinctly different take on what happened. It's a very clever episode, and a very ambitious one. And from that point on, 30-something keeps getting better and better. The conflict between Nancy and Elliot, for example, is explored fully rather than solved and tucked away after that one episode. They spend much of the season sniping at each other, subtly but constantly, until they finally decide to go see a marriage counselor. Their sessions play like an 80s version of HBO's In Treatment, with small complaints eventually leading to big observations. Here are Patricia Wedig and Timothy Busfield as Nancy and Elliot, with Marshall Herskovitz, the show's producer, as the therapist who listens patiently before offering his own observations.
I just think in these days, you don't quit a job when you're making really good money to start your own company, which might ruin us. I mean, Michael and Elliot had no experience doing this before.
Wait a minute. We had won 2 awards, and we had 3 separate accounts that were promised to us. I mean, that's a great start.
They were local awards.
Oh, excuse me. They forgot my Clio this year. I mean, what if you won lately?
No, I'm just saying that it's a risky thing to do.
You didn't have any faith in me. That's what
no,
it was.
No, no. I was worried about the mortgage.
You did not have any faith in me.
No, faith has nothing to do about it.
What do you mean faith has nothing to do with it? That's the whole idea of what we're doing here, Nancy. Am I crazy? I mean, I'm doing something that I've dreamed about for a long time.
She doesn't trust me at all. I have had the same car for 7 years.
Because you enjoy being cheap, Nancy.
Don't lay that on anything else.
You
have to have everything you want when you want it. That's true.
You know, what's interesting is that for every accusation, there's a counter-accusation, and each one seems plausible in its own way. I guess it could go on that way forever.
What's that mean?
Could go on that way forever, and neither of you would be any closer to getting what you want from each other.
This sort of scene and discussion was rare on broadcast TV then. It's rare on broadcast TV now. Dramas about everyday life are as few and far between in the start of this century as they were at the end of the last one. So even though it took the show a while to find its true voice, give 30-something credit for looking for inspiration and meaning in the little things. Where the show also deserves credit, and this is much more clear in retrospect, is in its eye for talent. Some of the regulars have starred on other terrific shows, Ken Olin on Easy Streets, Tim Busfield on The West Wing. And almost every episode in this first season serves up a surprise. The ditzy receptionist at Michael and Elliot's ad agency? She was played by a very young Faith Ford, pre-Murphy Brown. And that's Terry Kinney, who went on to HBO's Oz as Ellen's boss and eventual boyfriend. And that extended salute to Hitchcock films, in which Gary falls in love with a woman for the first time? That was written by Paul Haggis, who went on to create Easy Streets, as well as to write the movies Million Dollar Baby and Crash. And the enchanting young woman? She was played by Dana Delaney, before the rest of us fell in love with her on China Beach. The closely bonded young adults of 30-something paved the way for such subsequent television series as Seinfeld and Friends, for example. But those were sitcoms. As a drama, 30-something was and is something special. The series definitely has its place in TV history and deserves a place on your home video bookshelf as well.
David Bianculli writes for TVWorthWatching.com and teaches television and film at Rowan University.